Hey, everyone. So to say that there would be a lot to talk about would be an understatement. So the Supreme Court struck down student loan cancellation in Biden v. Nebraska. The decision was 6-3, and this is a little bit surprising to me. I thought it was going to be a 5-4 decision. I thought we were going to see someone like Kavanaugh write the decision to be sort of the swing justice that he often is, or you know, maybe Amy Coney Barrett might write the decision, just because I was thinking that it was possible that we would see this the Chief Justice and the minority voting with the court's liberal wing. But that's not what happened. So the Supreme Court voted 6-3. Chief Justice Roberts, as the senior member of the court, was allowed to choose who to write the opinion, and he chose to write it, and it was emphatic. The court was forceful. Basically, Roberts, in his opinion, said that waive or modify, which is what the language in the HEROES Act statute says, does not give the authority to the Secretary of Education to rewrite the statute from the ground up. He said in his opinion that, I'm paraphrasing here, that Congress exclusively has the power of the purse. Roberts called cancellation an executive power grab of legislative authority that clearly relies with Congress. And this was a no-holds-bar, forceful opinion. I was wondering if we would see some hedging. I was also kind of frankly wondering if we would see sort of a technicality. So technicality meaning standing. I was thinking there was a chance that, you know, with SCOTUS possibly worried about, you know, all these discussions of legitimacy and court packing, and you know, that maybe it went too far striking down Roe. I was kind of wondering if maybe the court, even though they disagree with cancellation being legal, if they would sort of find on a technicality that since Mohila didn't have standing, then they would uphold the cancellation on a technicality. I was kind of thinking that might happen, because one thing I've learned about student loans is sort of always expect the unexpected, right? But in this case, the outcome that we predicted for a while now ended up happening, but it happened in a bigger way than I was even thinking that it would. So a 6-3 vote means that it's not close. And specifically, if you read what Roberts wrote, and obviously Roberts in some other cases has sided with the court's, and I'm using the language that the press uses here, the court's three liberal justices. Sometimes he's been in a lot of 5-4 decisions on the other side, but the language that he used saying that this was unconstitutional was, like I said, extremely forceful. So I'll give you an example. In the case, it's like 77 pages. He said that use of the word modify in this case to talk about what Secretary Cardona was doing and trying to cancel $430 billion of student loan debt for 98% of borrowers, he said that use of the word modify is like saying the status of French nobility was modified in the French Revolution. So this is clearly a joke. And some people might be saying, why are they joking about something so serious? But, you know, I've noticed as in my time as an armchair SCOTUS analyst, justices love to put zingers into their decisions. This was Roberts' primary flowery language opportunity. You know, during the French Revolution, what happened to the, you know, this maybe takes away the fun of the joke, but, you know, during the French Revolution, what happened to a lot of the French nobles? They all got their heads cut off. In other words, he's saying that their use, the administration's use of the word modify, or, you know, interpretation of the word modify, saying that they could do this in the court's supermajority conservative justices' opinion was absurd. What does that mean? I think it means that this really means that there's no chance cancellation through any other method goes through. And you know what was interesting that happened? Biden did something with the Higher Education Act and announced this just Friday afternoon after he lost on the cancellation case, this cancellation case in front of the Supreme Court. He did something that he's done before. Biden came out, talked about what his administration has accomplished on student loans so far, and he said his next act is that he's directed Secretary Cardona and the Department of Ed to do negotiated rulemaking to cancel student loan debt by the Higher Education Act. So the Higher Education Act is a far broader authority. It's not dependent upon a pandemic or a national emergency. And this is the act that a lot of progressives had urged him to go out with first. This is really interesting because there's a reason they didn't go out with this first. It's because if they had gone out with this first, the pandemic cancellation, they couldn't have tried the pandemic cancellation argument at all. They knew all along the court was very likely to say no. And so I think the idea was, since they don't have the votes in their own caucus to pass cancellation, let's be clear about that, right? Sinema, Tester, Manchin, three Democratic senators. There's 51 Democratic senators, so there's only 48 Democratic senators that are in favor of student loan cancellation. So he doesn't have a majority of his own party, but he needs to deliver on this cancellation politically. And one of the reasons why is if you look at, you know, demographic approval ratings for different groups, younger voters, especially younger progressives, have some of the lowest approval ratings of President Biden. And why does that matter? He doesn't win the presidency if he doesn't have a decent or a large turnout among younger, more progressive voters. And if you have a low approval rating, that means it's going to translate into, you know, a lack of enthusiasm to turn out. And that's a danger for President Biden. So, you know, obviously any successful politician is politically aware of things that they need to do to win elections, right? And this is what I would classify this attempt to cancel student debt by the Higher Education Act as an act, a political act. If you read the opinion of the court on the authority of whether or not Biden could cancel debt, it's super clear. Court says absolutely not. This is a, you know, a blatant act of grabbing power from the legislative branch. Those are the words of the court, not me. What's going to happen next? President Biden's attempt to cancel debt by the Higher Education Act is going to stretch probably until past the next presidential election in 2024. And that's probably what it was designed to do. The reason is because, again, he needs this to still be an issue to show that he was fighting for borrowers up until the last moment. Now, the new IDR rule, you might ask, well, how does that impact with everything? Well, I'll get there in a second, promise. I just want to point out that President Biden has done this before with other programs. And this is really just to help everyone kind of understand what's going on here, all the politics and the nuance as to what happens next. That's the purpose of talking about this. So I don't know if you remember in the pandemic, there was a national eviction moratorium where due to the public health emergency, landlords could not evict tenants, right? They were winding that down. The Biden administration was winding that policy down. But essentially, there was a lawsuit against it, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and that was struck down. Kavanaugh, I believe, wrote that opinion, and he stated essentially that, you know, it's legal, but we're going to let it stay in place until this day when the Biden administration was going to let it end anyway. You know, there was a lot of pressure from progressives on Biden to extend that eviction moratorium. I remember this because Representative Cori Bush, who used to be my congresswoman because I used to live in St. Louis, she did a sit-in on the steps of the Capitol building, and other progressives pushed Biden to do the extension anyway because the idea was that it would buy some extra time, that it would get shot down probably, but it might buy an extra month of renters staying in their homes. So essentially, he did that because he needed to politically, and he knew he would lose, but he did it anyway. And I really think that's what's going on here with the Higher Education Act. I also think there's another really smart thing that he's doing, actually, that is not just political here. I think that if he did not try to cancel debt by the Higher Education Act, first of all, progressives would accuse him of not fighting hard enough. And second of all, the whole focus of the Republican Party would be on the new IDR plan that he's coming out with. Now, we'll find out soon how generous that ends up being when he releases the final rule, probably in the next couple weeks, I would guess. But if you are worried about that program also getting shot down, because that is an extremely expensive program, $230 billion, according to the CBO, and that was, you know, I think assuming cancellation was going to occur, I think. And so if cancellation doesn't occur, that means the cost of that rule is even more. So when the CBO revises their numbers, who knows, it could be $300 billion or more, almost the same cost as cancellation. So based on that major powers doctrine that the court used to make this decision, there's a real good chance that that could end up in front of the court and get struck down as well. What does that mean? Well, you would have to have standing to have any kind of challenge to new IDR proposed. So I think that because this challenge to the cancellation was successful, I think it's very likely that we're going to see another lawsuit trying to block the IDR plan. The question is it a serious lawsuit or is it an unserious lawsuit? Now, let me help explain the difference. An unserious lawsuit would be from a taxpayer group, a, you know, legal nonprofit that's a conservatively aligned group, you know, saying that they're not as attractive for employment or something like that, maybe a couple individual borrowers bringing a suit funded by some conservative organization. The other news was Department of Education v. Brown. This was the Texas case. This was, I think, brought on behalf of a couple borrowers who weren't eligible for the cancellation. That got tossed by the Supreme Court unanimously for lack of standing. So this is, that was interesting that that got completely thrown out, even though that the, you know, Biden v. Nebraska law was very emphatic in saying that cancellation wasn't legal. Right. So what that means is that the only lawsuits that are brought in front of the Supreme Court against new IDR are from these smaller groups, then it's not going to be successful, I don't think, because you're not going to have any standing. And so servicers, you know, MOHELA probably, Missouri cannot sue on behalf of MOHELA to block new IDR probably. And the reason for that is because MOHELA's finances would probably be enhanced by this new IDR plan, not hurt. So the reason there is, you know, borrowers are going to be in debt longer because of this new IDR plan. And MOHELA gets paid per year or per month or per year based off of how many borrowers it has. So if you extend the average life of a borrower interacting with Mohila, that raises Mohila's revenues. So there's not going to be standing from the servicer side. What about private lenders? That's the best option that opponents of this new IDR plan have. And I'm not giving anybody ideas, so you know, this is already something that they're talking about. I know because I've spoken with a couple contacts in that industry and have heard they're not planning on suing if the current version of the new IDR plan is what gets released. So if it became a lot more generous, then you know the current version of their proposing is already very generous. But if they release something even more generous, essentially what would happen, I think, is private refinancing would just go out of existence. And then you would see a bunch of private student loan lenders bringing lawsuits and suing to stop that from happening. And those lenders would be negatively affected economically. And you might say, well, what would they be able to argue over? The statute is clear that the president can create ICR programs based off of this ICR statute, right? But the problem with that is, based off of this major questions doctrine, what the court could do in assessing a challenge to this new IDR plan is they could just look at a private lender that has standing, which would be pretty easy to achieve, again, because it's a clear entity that's harmed by an administrative action. And then this current court, I'm not saying whether or not this is right or wrong. I'm saying I think this current court might look at that type of a lawsuit and they might say, well, you know, wow, this is going to cost hundreds of billions of dollars. And the statute for ICR says that borrowers, that the Secretary of Education can create income-based payment plans that are up to 20% of income and no more than 25 years. So if they look at that and they say, well, 5% of income and as low as 10 years till repayment for people with less than $12,000, that is not at all what Congress's intent was. This is needs express authority for them to be able to do this. So I think that the Higher Education Act cancellation, one of the reasons they're doing this is to draw heat off of the new IDR plan. This is kind of what they did with a variety of things, right? PSLF waiver, the IDR waiver, some of the stuff around for-profit colleges with Sweet V Cardona, the new IDR plan, the cancellation through the HEROES Act, attempted cancellation that was also going to extend the payment pause for an extra year. I do think, too, that this also shows that very much the plan with the Biden administration was absolutely to extend the student loan pause through the presidential election while trying to cancel debt by the Higher Education Act. So that was absolutely the plan, and that's why SoFi sued, right? So think about what scenario challenges new IDR. So remember that the head of a, you know, a Navient or SoFi is told what to do by their board of directors. Ultimately, the board can hire or fire a CEO, right? And who has all the seats on the board? Generally, the people who own all the shares, right? They get to choose who sits on the board. So that's run by investors. So big investors could force the hand of management to file a lawsuit on anything if they wanted to. So when would an investor or group of investors decide to make an executive team do that? They would do that when they perceived that the value of that lawsuit is greater than the cost. And obviously, when you sue like this, you're going to take brand damage, right? You're going to take reputational harm from doing that. So the upside of what you're going to get has got to be better than the downside harm. And SoFi's already showed that they'll do this to get the payments started again to end the pause. They ended up not needing to do that because the Fiscal Responsibility Act forced payments to start August 30th with that compromise bill. I think currently, the new IDR plan doesn't really impact the math of dentists and physicians and lawyers and MBAs refinancing their student loans. I don't think that really impacts it all that much. It, I think, delays the decision to refinance for a few years for a lot of people because of just ways that you can get interest subsidies by consolidating and filing taxes separately right after graduation and things like that. But long term, I don't think it impacts the size of the graduate and professional student loan refinancing market. I definitely think it reduces the size of the undergraduate refinancing market, but I think a lot of people don't really care about that quite as much as they care about the higher debt, higher income crowd. And so that's why I think that these private lenders would look at the trade-offs currently and say, if Biden just comes out with what he said he was going to come out with, the harm, the reputational harm that we would take would be greater than the benefits from the extra marginal refinancing that we would get from having more people with $20,000 of debt refinance with us. So I think that that's probably what's going to go on. But there's all kinds of things going on right now with student loans. Again, I think what we're going to see is a new cancellation rule come out again shortly, but it's going to take a very, very long time. So again, going to take a very, very long time. And you know, I'm highly, highly skeptical that Higher Education Act cancellation is going to be allowed based off of the text of today's ruling. student loans are going to continue to be a big mess. Clearly, there's also probably no desire to do any kind of big bipartisan overhaul now that the administration is trying to do higher education at cancellation, because, I mean, the Republicans think it's going to get shot down by the Supreme Court, and they probably are very correct with that assumption. Biden doesn't have any incentive to compromise on the new IDR plan because he doesn't feel like he needs to, and he can get something much more generous than is being offered by congressional Republicans. So he doesn't have an incentive to compromise. Biden wants this to be an issue going into the presidential election because, you know, intelligently, I think he wants to draw contrasts with Republicans, and he wants to have this remain a campaign issue to help with younger progressive voters. So what does this all mean for you, right? New IDR, it's not going to be the best plan for everybody unless they juice it up a lot more than what they've already done, which is still possible. We just have to wait and see. We'll definitely do probably a regularly scheduled podcast episode when that comes out. So I think a lot of the people in our audience, just because we deal with a lot of times higher debt, higher income, more highly educated borrowers, or some combination of those three, a lot of this 10, 20K of cancellation would not have made a big dent in people's lives. So I know this is going to be this decision is very disappointing for a lot of people in our audience. So if you are really frustrated or sad, you know, I would say keep the faith. You know, you will be able to access a lot of different strategies and tools that will allow you to get significant relief, in some cases even better than if you'd gotten cancellation. So this new repay plan, a lot of the discussions around how long they're going to do forbearance, they just announced that you can do a 12-month hold harmless, pause your payments when payments start again. It's not going to pause interest. It's not going to count towards the forgiveness plans like the COVID forbearance did. And you can actually ask for 12 months of forbearance really in general. So that's not exactly a new thing. They're just saying that you can do it. Presumably, it would be an additional forbearance on top of the 3 years of forbearance that you get anyway that's approved 12 months at a time at the discretion of your loan servicer. So there's all kinds of strategic opportunities that borrowers are going to have. I could foresee a lot of situations where you might strategically pause your loan payments to kind of wait until that new repay plan comes out because you'd rather pay the way lower number that you'd pay on that. But most borrowers are probably going to have a lower payment because of when they were last recertified and probably 2018 tax return that's even better than what they would have on this new repay plan. So look for Biden to try to fast track this plan as much as possible. Again, that's why I think they're going to come out with the rule as quickly as possible so they can start sending work orders to the student loan servicers. But yeah, this is, again, a shocking development. Strong rebuttal of student loan cancellation by the conservative supermajority on the Supreme Court. Biden tries to do it again, probably mostly due to optics and trying to retain support of his progressive base while distracting from the new IDR plan, which I know a lot of people really want to see go through. We will have more in the days and weeks ahead. You know, if you need to get a student loan plan, obviously studentloanplanner.com/book. And if you have any questions at all, hit us up, help@studentloanplanner.com. Thank you everybody for listening, and I hope you have a great 4th of July weekend.